Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. Download more sermons or learn about the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene at our website, capenazarene.org. Here's this week's message.
John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. Jesus is speaking here. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd, does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and he runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand, cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen, and I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. And the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. I wanted to show you guys a video to kind of start off the sermon. So I saw that video and it cracked me up. I thought, oh, I got to keep that in mind. One of the top comments of that was me getting out of bed in the morning. Others said things like, oh, is this what Jesus sees when he looks at my life? And I love when I looked at some of the comments that I've seen for that, that they immediately draw correlations to their life. I seem to think when I was growing up, we would have looked at that and just went, aha, stupid sheep. But now, you know, we look at it and go, aha, stupid sheep. And like we know right away, oh man, we've all been there where it seems like, hey, just as we get out of something, we're right back in it. The same thing's kind of happening in our passage. That is, Jesus is telling a story that we're supposed to relate with, that we're supposed to understand. Say, wait a minute, I know what he's talking about here. I get this story. Supposed to understand exactly who we are in this story. When Jesus is talking, of course, about the flock that he needs to bring in, or the flock that is already in, we know which flock we are a part of, and we know indeed that Jesus has an interest in who we are. And Jesus is letting us know immediately that he cares for the sheep by letting us know he isn't the hired hand. You know, there's a different mentality between being the owner of something and being the hired hand. The owner will work whatever hours they have to work in order to make sure what has to get done for the company or the business or their project gets done. They'll get the job done no matter what. Doesn't matter if they're feeling sick or whatever. They know how important it is to the future of what they own that they're going to take care of it. When starting their business, they may go numerous weeks or months. And some I've heard of have even gone years trying to get something launched without a paycheck, just hoping to get that business off the ground and running. Because that business is their baby. They're passionate about that. They're passionate about that job. They're passionate about that project. And they want to see it. They want to help it. And they want to see it nursed from an idea to a finished product. A hired hand, on the other hand, says, well, you know, I only work so many hours and then my shift is over. A hired hand says, well, you know what, you might be short-staffed today, but this is supposed to be my day off. A hired hand has no love for the job of which they are hired to do. I mean, not usually. It isn't their passion. It isn't their baby. This is a temporary stopping point until something better comes along. And so Jesus, when he uses this illustration, right, he is saying, I am not a temporary savior. I am not someone who's just here for the short term. He's not the one who abandons the flock when the wolf comes, when the hard times come. When the wolf comes and they wonder, oh no, can I make payroll right now? Oh no, we're short-staffed. What happens here? The owner is the one who says, I'll make the sacrifice. Jesus is saying, I am not the hired hand. I am willing to make the sacrifice. The father did not bring him in just for some short-term relief because, you know, the father couldn't get the job done or something. In fact, Jesus has always been a part of the work of the Father. Orthodox theology tells us the Son was with the Father since the beginning of time. All of creation is done for the Father, through the Son, and by the Holy Spirit. Those are kind of the prepositions, if you will, of talking about the Trinity. All of what Jesus has done has been done in cooperation with our Heavenly Father. And Jesus says, as like the owner, as the good shepherd, Jesus has been heavily interested in who we are since the beginning of creation, heavily interested in where we would go with God, in our relationship with God since creation. And interested in making sure that we don't succumb to the temptations of this world, the dangers of this world, the wolves that come in to try to destroy us. He never gives up on us. I mean, can you imagine if Jesus was kind of like the hired hand savior? Some sin comes creeping on our door or we fall into some crevice. And Jesus says, well, I did what I could with the hours that were given me. Time for me to punch out. If the Holy Spirit can't straighten them out during this shift, he's done for. You know, or maybe Jesus said when things got hard, you know, well, maybe I can look for a better gig. You know, something that just will be a little bit easier for me. You know, maybe something somewhere where people just don't keep jumping back into the same mess I just saved them from. But Jesus never gives up, right? That's not his mentality. He's always with us, never abandons us. This is why he's called the Good Shepherd. He stays with us. In fact, his entire life is dedicated to us. He goes all the way to the cross for us. He's willing to lay down his life, not just for those currently under his care, but for those outside as well. Jesus cares about those that are still stuck in the ditches of sin. And so what he says here is he lays down his life only to take it up again. Now, this is one of those passages in the Gospel of John that I think has a couple ways for us to understand this. You see, the writer to the Gospel of John loves his dual meanings. He does this all the time. In John chapter 3, when he talks about the Spirit of God, he compares it to the wind. He says the Spirit is like the wind. You don't see it, but you see the effects of it. I actually can never read that passage of Scripture without hearing it in Billy Graham's voice. Right? You can't see the Spirit just like the wind, but you can see the effects of it. And he tells us about Spirit and wind are the exact same word. It's a pun that he makes. There's two ways of understanding this. A couple months ago, we did a passage of Scripture from John 3 as well where he says, just as the snake is lifted up, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and the Son of Man will be lifted up. And there's this understanding that we are lifting Jesus up to praise him, to honor him, like lifting him up on a pedestal. But literally, the pedestal he's lifted up on is actually a cross. And so there's this dual meaning of the one who is exalted for our salvation is also the one who was destroyed, who was crucified. And so I think there's kind of two ways for us to understand. He lays down his life only to take it up again. One is the way that seems kind of obvious from the way we've understood it over the last 2,000 years. And that's, he can die, but he will also be raised to life again. It's that kind of foreshadowing what's happening, what's going to happen. It's like when you watch a movie a second time and you hear a line, you're like, oh, they were hinting at how it was going to end. That's what this is. This passage is for this foreshadowing of Easter. That he, even if he lays down his life for us and for our salvation, that indeed he will come back to life. That indeed he overcomes death. And he overcomes death for both of us. He overcomes death in himself, and that the Father raises that one up from the grave, but also overcomes death for us, that in entering into that experience that we can know without a doubt that whatever ditch we find ourselves in, whatever depths we find ourselves, even the grave, God's grace reaches there to lift us up. And this is good news because it means he enters into the experience of death with us and is raised that we too might be raised from death. That where death has indeed swallowed us up, that God's there with him. That God is not just found where there's victory, but God is also where there is defeat, because God enters that defeat such that even in life's final breath, God is there with that one. There is no place that God yields. For the scripture says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And I love that passage, that God is with us even in the worst of it. But there is another way, of course, of understanding. I lay down my life only to take it up again. And that is the way I think if we didn't know how it ended, we might have understood this. And that is Jesus saying, I can lay down my life, or I might not. It means the choice is truly his. He has authority either way. He can lay down his life or doesn't. It means, and this makes all the difference, it could have been otherwise. God showing grace to us where we have fallen short. It could have been otherwise. Jesus loving creation all the way to the cross. It could have been otherwise. When Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, Lord, take this cup from me. What happens if he doesn't pray the next line? Not my will, but your will be done. It could have been otherwise. God accepting that death and turning the death of Jesus into a symbol of God's presence with us by raising him from the dead and inviting death into his heaven. And that by inviting the one who is crucified into his heaven, that even we, having experienced the worst that this world gives to us and does to us, the fullness of our mortality entering into death, that we too might be invited into his heaven. It could have been otherwise. That God would look upon his people who rejected him and turned away from Christ, and not only would still raise him from the dead, but then would pour out his Holy Spirit on those people. And say, no, my grace isn't finished yet, and I'm still going to continue to work among you, and you're going to continue to work among the rest of this world because I haven't given up on this world. It could have been otherwise. Jesus says, I lay down my life, I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up. It means the story that we've been accustomed to saying for 2,000 years about is a story that could have had a different ending. An ending that would have been perfectly acceptable to any understanding of any supreme being or God in any other faith. Even in the ways that we tend to live our own lives. Right? Well, there's only so much we can take. But God's grace continued to be poured out on his people. Each and every time we fall back into that ditch, Jesus reaches down. He always lays down his life for us, and it is not otherwise. And that has made all the difference. And this means for us that wherever we are now, that wherever we are, whether in a ditch or being pulled out or already out, that we can in that moment turn to Jesus and say, thank you for saving, thank you for rescuing me, show me where you want to lead me and I will go, instead of turning a blind eye to him and running off on our own yet again. The meaning for us is that we can turn into his grace and trust the one who is called the Good Shepherd and know and believe that indeed he will protect us and keep us from being scattered. This also means for us who have been accustomed to God's salvation and we are welcomed in and are part of that flock, It means that there are others too that God has desired to welcome and God has desired to save. And it means for us that we are to extend the same grace and mercy and justice that He has extended to us to those around us. For us to be able to show others that indeed God wants to save and deliver them and to help them see that they can stay tuned in and turn towards Him because He is faithful and will be with them. This makes all the difference for us because we recognize that God's grace is one that always comes to us exactly where we are, no matter the mistakes we've made or the mistakes those around us will make as well. So this story, this passage of Scripture that John gives to us reminds us indeed of just how gracious our Lord is. And so I want to say today, if you are finding yourself in a spot where you know God needs to lift you up, trust that He will do that and stay close to Him to trust that He will keep you out. And if you have fallen back in again and again, trust that He will not leave you there. The video cut short, right? We know there's no way they left Him in there that second time. Jesus doesn't leave us either. And in the same way, we find that as God's Spirit continues to go with us, that we are called to extend that grace to those outside the flock because God is still welcoming them in. And there are people in our life and there are people around us who we know need to hear and need to accept again the grace of God who has said again and again, I will not leave you, I will not forsake you. I am with you and will save you now. And let us be the bearers of that word, that indeed there might be one flock as we all follow this one good shepherd. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, today I thank you that we serve a gracious and loving God, a God that is committed from the beginning. That it does not matter how long it takes, or the sacrifices that were made, your love has always been there for us. And Lord, it is my hope and it is my prayer that you would help me, help us all, to be faithful to you, to turn to you, the one who has been so gracious and merciful to us. To stay near, to draw close, for indeed you are the good shepherd. And Heavenly Father, it is also my hope and it is my prayer as well, that as ones who are following after Jesus Christ, we call ourselves Christians, that we too would model the same grace and faith and forgiveness that you have so extended to us. Help us, Lord, to be your people in this world. And help us, Lord, to receive your saving grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast. We hope that the message has inspired you to draw closer to God each day. May God bless you as you serve Him today.